Hello, I'm Bruce Edwards, and welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. In this program, how mobile technology has made sub-Saharan Africa the global leader in mobile money transfer services and is helping break down some long-standing development barriers.
FinTech has a role to play. It shouldn't be an oxymoron to talk about technology in Africa.
While sub-Saharan Africa has lagged behind the rest of the world in access to finance, some countries in the region are now bucking that trend thanks to financial technology known as FinTech. New IMF research shows FinTech is emerging as a technological enabler in the region, improving financial inclusion and serving as a catalyst for innovations in other sectors like agriculture and infrastructure. Amadou C is an advisor in the African department at the IMF and oversaw the writing of this new research paper on the impact of FinTech in sub-Saharan African countries.
So we've been hearing, for many years now, about the lack of infrastructure in sub-Saharan Africa and a lack of connectivity. How is it that sub-Saharan Africa is now leading the world, really, in mobile money?
So one big factor that contributed to this development is that once government decided to privatize their telecom companies, the private sector went in and mobile technology, mobile phones, grew very fast compared to landlines, the old phones that we used to have. Coupled with that was also the cheap price of owning a mobile phone and the fact that it was a simple technology to use that basically helped leapfrog the continent, and adoption of mobile technology grew very fast, and Africa became basically the number one when it came to mobile money as new private sector, but mostly telecom operators, were allowed in, especially starting in East Africa, were allowed to provide mobile money services.
So when you say leapfrog, these telecom companies saved themselves some money and some time in not having to install copper wires to go out in the rural areas. They just installed cellular towers.
Exactly.
This is what you mean by leapfrog.
Yeah, and not only that, is that their forecasts of adoption of the technology were actually too pessimistic. They were very conservative because they were using models of technology adoption in other places of the world, and which were just too pessimistic for Africa. So actually, they were pleasantly surprised themselves. And at the end, everybody had a phone. Many people had two phones. And mobile money services just took off very rapidly.
The growth potential is tremendous in Africa. It continues to be. Do we see any substantial impact for the local economies, like something tangible in the past couple of years?
Yeah, definitely. One statistic that I like, it is really telling, is that if you look at the number of bank deposits, this number now is lower than the number of people with a mobile money account. So in terms of financial inclusion, the region has really benefited from this technology. You know, I remember when I had my first job as an intern, I earned some money and I went into a bank, and they laughed at me because the amount I was going to deposit was below the minimum amount required to open an account. So I went back with my first paycheck, not knowing really what to do with it. And now mobile money allows all people to operate. It's true, it's very small payments at time, but at least you are now included in the financial sector through this technology.
And one of the things that's been a deterrent for private investors, entrepreneurs in the region, has been the lack of data. Does financial technology give the potential of solving at least part of this problem of data?
Yeah, definitely. So if you look at the evolution of mobile money, mobile transaction, mobile banking. So it all started really with payment services. So I would send money to my relative in a remote area, in a small town, in the village. Then I was able, they allowed people to pay their bills. Right. And now we are moving to services where you can get a loan. But how does this fintech firm get its credit analysis? It's using the information that it's getting from your mobile phone usage. How regularly were you paying your bills and so on? So instead of a bank officer doing a credit analysis, they're using this data to basically come up with a credit score and then decide to lend you some money. And recently, one of these companies that was the first to do it in Kenya, M-Pesa, is even allowing you to get a top-up. So it's allowing you to get an extra loan even before you paid your previous loan. So it's moving very, very rapidly.
It seems that these technology firms or these telecommunications firms are acting in some ways like a bank at a certain level. And I suspect that central bankers are at the very center of this financial technology evolution. And central bankers are not usually seen as agents of change. How are central banks reacting to financial technology?
Yeah, so this is a question, actually, which is not really specific to Africa, because as innovation is moving very rapidly, regulators have to adapt. But regulatory changes, by definition, are really slower. So we've seen different school of thoughts. What has happened is that in East Africa, the regulators have been quite flexible in basically letting the telecom companies innovate, and at the same time making sure that there were some safeguards. For example, the money that people were having in their mobile account was also deposited in trust accounts, which were in the banking system. So they were careful. At the same time, they allowed some flexibility, and that helped fintech move very quickly in East Africa. But globally, and this is a difficult question, all the central banks are, all these regulators, the supervisors are dealing with this difficult question. And that's why the IMF, together with the World Bank, came up with this Bali Fintech Agenda, which sets up some principles and then provides a forum where, you know, the global community can really come up with solutions that will not really slow down too much innovation, and then basically help these economies reap the benefits of innovation.
Okay, so in terms of trying to figure out the proper balance in regulation, in your paper you mentioned that Sub-Saharan Africa is also somewhat of a testing ground for financial technology, and there's an example there of what you call a sandbox in Mauritius. Talk to me a little bit about how they're doing that.
Yeah, definitely. If you look at the regulatory sandbox, which are kind of testing grounds for new digital business models, people typically think about the Bank of England, the Monetary Authority of Singapore as examples. But the Bank of Mauritius has recently started using this concept of regulatory sandbox too. It's the same thing when you talk about distributed ledger technology, DLT, and how it can be used in a whole payment system, some kind of blockchain for a wholesale payment system. One of the first countries to do that was Canada, and the Bank of Canada is seen as a pioneer. But the South African Reserve Bank has also done it and is learning, is testing. If you think about regulatory technology, RegTech and SupTech, the use of technology in regulation and in supervision, people will mention Mexico. But the National Bank of Rwanda has also done it, and it's actually using it, and the Central Bank in Nigeria is thinking of also implementing something similar when it comes to SupTech. So really, not only has the private sector seen the potential that fintech can bring to the to Africa, but I think policymakers are also active into this sphere. And it's our paper has this question mark: is it a game changer? So we really hope that it will be a game changer. But so far, it's very promising.
But do you worry, like you said, I mean, too much regulation on the industry might stifle the potential gains of it?
So I think that actually the rest of the world has a few things to learn from Africa. And as I was saying, I mean, fintech is advancing very, very quickly in Africa, not only in East Africa, but increasingly in other regions. And I think there are lessons to be learned. We are all learning. Financial crises are very expensive, but at the same time, you know, Africa has a young population. We need to provide jobs. We need people to be included in the financial system. We need entrepreneurs to be able to get loans and financing to create jobs and so on. So the upside, in my personal view, is very high for the region. So this is a very important question. How can we really help the continent leverage this growth? It's not often that Africa is number one into something that positive in technology, in financial sector. And then at the same time, safeguard the financial system.
And another thing that you speak of, or at least a recurring theme throughout this paper, is the potential to open up what you call the financial services value chain. So how does the financial services value chain work, and who stands to benefit?
Yeah. What we mean is that, you know, there should be an evolution in the provision of financial services. So at the beginning, most of mobile finance was in the area of payments, right? You transfer me money, I pay my bills, and then it started moving to other applications like payroll, right? Or I can, for example, distributes agricultural subsidies to all these farmers through their mobile phone. Or in the refugee camps, I can provide financial help to people through their mobile money account. And then the idea is to move from payments to lending, P2P lending, peer-to-peer, or P2B, peer-to-business lending, or just lending from a bank or from another fintech firm to an entrepreneur, savings, insurance, even capital markets. And you would be surprised. So as we were writing this report, we were trying to have examples. And it's like every week you will find new examples. It doesn't stop. It's just amazing the dynamism that you will see. And private equity firms have noticed, and money is flowing from London, from other places, from private equity investors into fintech in Africa.
They see the potential.
They see the potential.
Hmm. So it seems that Sub-Saharan, you just mentioned there that we don't often see Sub-Saharan Africa being on top, leading in anything having to do with technology. But it seems that the region has an opportunity right now to become a model for using financial technology as a development tool. What will they need to do to make that happen, do you think?
Yeah, I'm very optimistic to start with. I mean, you see, I mean, all the innovation I've been mentioning, a lot of it is happening with, you know, these old phones, not the smartphones, you know, a peasant in a village getting money through those old Nokia phones and so on. But the future should be about smartphones, about the internet and so on. And like the prices of smartphones is falling. Mm-hmm. You can have smartphones at less than $100 in Africa now, in many countries, and the price is still going down.
Yeah.
So also, you know, you've seen the innovation, the hubs, the tech hubs and so on, the private equity, it's so vibrant. So what's the role of policymakers in all of that? First of all, I would make the difference between hard infrastructure and soft infrastructure. You know, the provision of electricity.
Yeah.
That is still an issue. There's still a gap in the region, and we have to invest more to provide affordable, reliable electricity and internet services. Then we need to get the regulation right. You mentioned that. It's a difficult task. As the mobile money accounts are growing and growing and growing, what risks do they pose to the system? We should not over-regulate, we should not under-regulate. It's a balancing act, it's not easy. But we've seen good examples already in the region. And finally, and this is really dear to my heart, this is about the digital economy. This is the future of work. We have to look beyond the potential benefits in fintech. You know, my background is in finance, and I always see myself as a plumber. As a plumber, we are part of a bigger architecture. So we have to think also about the digital economy, about innovation, how fintech can contribute to the development of a digital economy in Africa. So this is bringing in e-commerce, this is bringing innovation, what type of jobs, what education. How do we tax these institutions? If you tax them too much, you can thwart innovation like regulation. It's understandable that you need also to get some revenues, but where do you put the balance? So I think there's a huge potential. And I'm looking at the youth, the rapid demographic growth, and how do we get a demographic dividend? And fintech has a role to play. Digital economy has a role to play. It shouldn't be an oxymoron to talk about technology in Africa.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
Amadou Si is an advisor in the African department at the IMF and headed this new study on the impact of fintech in sub-Saharan African countries. You can download the paper at imf.org. And if you like this podcast, subscribe on your favorite podcast app. Just search for IMF Podcasts. You can also follow us on Twitter at IMF_podcast.